Good evening, I give you a warm welcome. There will be tea and coffee served in the upstairs room after for those of you who are able to stay. Next Saturday, or rather next weekend, is our 207th anniversary. There will be a prayer and praise evening here on the Saturday, and there will be a walk up Wheats Hill and a picnic on the Sunday in between church. And some of us have been out walking this afternoon, and it remains perfectly dry for a period of time. Tonight we're using the white hymn book and the small black hymn book. So we're going to begin with the white hymn book, 1213. 1213, O Church Arise. Amen. Do be seated. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy about which we have been singing. We thank you that you've drawn us together this Sunday evening. And Lord, as we come around the communion table, and as later on we come around your word, we pray that you might join us, not because we are important, not because we are impressive, but because you are gracious and you condescend to come and commune with any who will ask. Lord, we ask. Lord, as we prepare ourselves to partake of the bread and the wine, the only confidence we have is not in our own goodness, for we have none, but the goodness of Jesus Christ. Through him do we come. He, our substitute. He, our forerunner. He, the way, the truth, and the life. The door and the light of the world. Amen. Amen. Would you turn now in the black hymn book? Let's sing together 119. 119 in the Black Gadsby hymn book.
Great God, from thee there's naught concealed, thou seest my inward frame. To thee I always stand revealed, exactly as I am. Since I can humbly therefore bear what in myself I see, how vile and black must I appear, most holy God, to thee. But since my Saviour stands between, in garments dyed in blood, 'tis he instead of me is seen when I approach to God. Thus, though a sinner I am safe, he pleads before the throne. His life and death in my behalf, and calls my sins his own. What wondrous love, what mysteries in this appointment shine! My breaches of the law are his, and his obedience mine.
Amen. Do be seated. Stephen, would you join me? Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" He continues, he says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Let's spend a little time doing that now, examining ourselves. If you understand that you are a sinner, then you qualify to take it. If you know that when the Lord Jesus died upon the cross, he was paying for your sin, you qualify to take it. If you've done everything you can to live at peace with your brethren, you qualify to take it. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. We thank you, Lord, for this bread. We thank you that it represents the body of Jesus Christ. It is not the body of Jesus Christ, but it does symbolize that. We don't come to it casually or flippantly. But we who know that we have sinned and broken God's law and know that Christ is our substitute, this symbol is very precious. If you believe, do take it, keep hold of it, and we'll drink it together. We thank you, Lord, for this bread, the body of Jesus Christ, broken for us. Amen. We thank you, O Lord, for this cup, the cup of blessing. The Lord Jesus drank the cup of the wrath of God, that we might partake of the cup of blessing. Retain the cup, and we'll drink together. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy, and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. That was Isaiah chapter 55. Let's drink together the cup of the new covenant. From the White Book, 1217. 1217. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we have just done. Nothing remarkable, nothing extraordinary. Something we'll do again in a few weeks' time. And yet, we have just communed with you, our Saviour. Taken and ingested those wonderful, albeit simple, symbols of your earthly ministry. The broken body and the shed blood. Broken that we might be made whole, forgiven, ransomed, healed, and restored. The blood shed that we who were dying might be made to live again. We thank you for the cross of Calvary, that old rugged cross upon which the Saviour hung, that we might be reconciled to the Father. Let's close our time of communion by singing from the Black Hymn Book, 468. 468. I'd like to read from Mark's Gospel and chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, for those of you who would like to follow it in your own Bible. This morning we considered a blind man and his healing in John. This time I'd like to consider a blind man and his healing from Mark. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Now they, that is Jesus and the disciples, came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Amen. A really well-known story. I can remember as a Sunday school child colouring in blind Bartimaeus. Well, what does the story teach us? Well, we know that the Lord Jesus is travelling around what then was called Judea, and they've come to Jericho. Now, Jericho is more famous for in another Bible passage than for what we read of it here. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. In fact, it was a place of God's judgment. It was a place that was not to be rebuilt. And yet here we are. There is Jesus going to Jericho. A place of judgment, a place which, if the stones had memories, would surely have remembered that terrible day when the walls of Jericho proved themselves no match for the God of Israel. So he's in Jericho with his disciples, and there is a great crowd. And then we come across somebody who, by the standards of the day, was the least important of them all. He is not following Jesus around because, we are told, he's unable to see. A few years ago, we had a lad at my school who had difficulty seeing, and those of us who were to teach him were encouraged to put a particular pair of glasses on. He wasn't totally blind. So try walking around the room so we could understand what it was like to be him. So we wouldn't say, "Come on, come to the front and collect this piece of paper," because having had these glasses on, goggles on really, we would understand, you know, everything really was a fuzz. And with those on, you were very careful about where you would walk for fear of walking into something. Bartimaeus is not following Jesus around. There's any number of objects on those dusty roads which would have hampered his movement and endangered his well-being. And we learn of his occupation. He's a beggar. He is a man who cannot work for a living, so he depends upon the charity of others. We don't know how old he is. Presumably, he gets by as a beggar. I suspect he isn't a wealthy man. He'll be glad if he can fill his belly every night. Interestingly, he's called Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, and Mark tells us he was the son of Timaeus. So far, he really is something of a non-entity. Now, please don't be offended. Some of you may be called Robinson or Jackson or Stevenson. Nothing wrong with those names. But this man, we know who his father is. But who's he? It's almost as though it doesn't really matter. After all, he is just a blind man sitting by a road receiving alms, which he's been receiving for however many years he's been sitting on that road by Jericho. Perhaps he sleeps there as well, who knows? So he's a man who's probably looked down upon. He's not terribly mobile. He is a beggar. But in verse 47, he does something quite extraordinary. This insignificant man draws everybody's attention to himself. Now, I made four people come out to the front this morning. I don't like being asked to come out to the front. Ironic in a preacher, I know. But here is a man who's calling out. And what does he say? Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He calls out so much that those around him tell him to shut up. It's quite annoying. And he's not a significant person. Who does he think he is? Surely this teacher from Nazareth has far more important people to meet up with. Not blind beggars. I like Bartimaeus. They warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more. That's the spirit. These people are trying to put him off Jesus Christ. They just want him to sit quietly, do as he's told, collect the odd penny, and be content with his lot. But Bartimaeus believes something about Jesus Christ and he won't let it drop. Now, how has he heard about him? I don't know. He doesn't follow him around. For whatever reason, news has got to Bartimaeus that there is a teacher from Nazareth who not only teaches, but he can heal the sick. In fact, it's more than that, because he says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." He is linking this teacher from Nazareth to the figure of the Messiah, the son of David. Now, David was a great warrior and a conqueror. This rabbi seems to go around teaching and preaching. And yet Bartimaeus believes he is the son of David, the one whom God has appointed to deliver and rescue Israel. Bartimaeus might not have been able to travel. We know he annoyed the crowd. We know he's a beggar. Doesn't dress very well. But he believes. He believes Jesus Christ is more than just a teacher. Furthermore, he cries out for mercy. He doesn't call for Jesus to come to him because he is a worthy character, or because, as far as blind men go, he's one of the better sort. He cries out for mercy. Bartimaeus has a far greater understanding of who Jesus Christ is than many who were around then and many who are around today. There are many who will say, well, Jesus is a great role model. You don't ask for mercy from a role model. Well, Jesus is very good at teaching us how to live. Look at the Sermon on the Mount, for example. Indeed. You don't seek mercy from a good teacher. You seek a good lesson. Bartimaeus is calling out for mercy. In one respect, it could be by wanting to be healed, that is an act of mercy. I think it's more than that. Although he's had a tough life, even Bartimaeus has done things which are contrary to the law of God. He has broken God's law. He is a sinner. He might elicit our sympathy and the sympathy of the people among whom he lives, no doubt. But he has broken God's law. And that is one of the truths of the Bible which so many people find offensive and are unwilling to accept. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If it were worded, but some people you know have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God, we'd all be in agreement. We could all name them and list them off. But that verse in Romans says, I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And until I realise that I am a sinner, oh, no doubt, a far more respectable sinner than many of the ones you'll get round here, but a sinner all the same. Until I realise that I am a sinner, I will have no need of a saviour. Bartimaeus, I think, has understood. He wants his vision, but he needs mercy. So he cries out. What would have happened, by the way, if he took the advice of the crowd? The New King James Version says they warned him to be quiet. Yeah. What if he'd said, oh yes, okay, fair enough. Here is a man who's not going to let other people put him off Jesus Christ. He's not going to let hypocritical church members put him off Jesus Christ. He's not going to allow wishy-washy archbishops to put him off coming to Jesus Christ. He's not going to allow pastors who like the sound of their own voices to put him off coming to Jesus Christ. He cried out all the more, Son of David, you who were chosen by God to deliver Israel, have mercy on me. I need mercy, and you have mercy to give. We're told that Jesus heard it and stood still. He was walking by, and he stopped the Son of God in his very tracks for crying out to him. And he commanded him to be called, implicitly rebuking those who told him to be quiet. Whether the people in verse 49 are the same as those in verse 48, I don't know. But in 48, they're telling him to be quiet. In verse 49, they're saying, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. They weren't saying that a few moments ago. The least significant denizen of Jericho has the full attention of Jesus Christ. Because he called to him. Have you ever had dealings with a large company? Maybe you bought the product and it went wrong, or it never arrived. So you phone them up. And you go through various options, option number 2, option number 5, option number 3, option number 9, option number 7. And then you are put on hold. And hold. And hold. And they play music to you. And within 18 or 19 minutes, you learn to loathe that tune. And after an even longer wait, they may or may not deign to answer the phone. That was my experience not long ago. You see, I was not important to them. And this is why. I'd already paid my money. If you want to get through to the sales department, you're there straight away. You want to object or complain, you're only going to cost them money. They don't want to hear from you. What they want you to do is say, never mind. These things happen. I'll buy another from the same company. How does one get the attention of the living God? The Bible talks of God sitting enthroned among the cherubim. That's a type of angel. Glorious, magnificent creatures singing in all their glory and their majesty. He has the entire cosmos to behold and examine, inspect and appreciate all the work of his hands. There are grand cathedrals built around the world with wonderful choirs. We come to pray. And we think, why on earth would the great God turn his ear to us when there's so much competition? But three times the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Not put on hold. Not fobbed off. Not told to come back in office hours or try again later. If you ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you of your sin, you come to him in faith like Bartimaeus and you plead his mercy. The first part of verse 49 will happen. Of course, he can hear more than one prayer at a time, and he can enjoy the prayers of angels without you distracting him, but God will stand still to hear from any who will call on him. Wow. Is that not amazing grace? Be of good cheer. Rise. He is calling you. Who's calling who? Bartimaeus calls Jesus. Jesus calls Bartimaeus. Either way, they meet up. There's a wonderful detail in verse 50. I don't know if there's some greater significance. Doubtless some of you will be queuing up after to tell me there is or there is not. But he throws aside his garments. I'm not going to spiritualize what that garment might be. But this much I would say. Whatever could possibly hold him back or encumber him, hinder him, or delay that divine appointment with the Son of God who is but a few feet away, he would sooner do without it than not get there as quickly as possible. Whatever it is that's holding you back tonight, throw it away. In verse 51, there's something else that's quite remarkable. The Lord asked him a question. If Christ is God, he knows everything. He asks him a question. What do you want me to do for you? Now, you might say, wasn't it perfectly obvious? The Lord likes to be asked. He won't forgive you unless you ask him to. What do you want me to do for you? Mark begins the answer to emphasize. The blind man said to him, Well, we know who it is. He could have put, Bartimaeus said to him. Mark is really wanting us to understand now. The man can't see. Rabboni, really emphatic, rabbi, teacher, that I may receive my sight. In one respect, I think he sees more clearly than most of the people in that crowd already. He knows he is the son of David and one who bestows mercy. He also knows that if he keeps calling for him, he will get his attention. Nevertheless, he is physically blind. Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Because he came believing, he went healed. Immediately, he received his sight. Faith is an important word in the Bible. A very posh lady said to me quite recently, "Oh, you must have faith." Faith in what? Faith in whom? He had faith in the one upon whom he called. "Son of David, have mercy on me." The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Forgiveness of sins and heaven is not a reward for the goody-goodies. There aren't any. It's a gift given to those who will take it in faith, who will believe in faith, who believe who Jesus is and the promises he made. They believe and apply them. And they're not all physically healed, but they're all forgiven. "Your faith has made you well." Paul says to the Romans in chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, having been justified," that means acquitted, found not guilty, "justified by faith, we have peace with God." Peace with God comes by faith, not by the works of the law, not by human efforts, but by having faith in Jesus Christ and believing the gospel. "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight. There was a detail at the very end I missed out. I hope you noticed. "And followed Jesus on the road." What were his options? He could have gone back to the garments and begged. I suspect, by the way, that his donors may have been a little less generous from now on. I don't think that would have been a good career move. He could have got himself a proper job. After all, he can see now. Settle down, have a family. He followed Jesus on the road. He became a disciple. He became a follower. You see, when you become a Christian, it's not the end, it's the beginning. Sometimes when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, it has been a very long process over a number of years, and we finally get there and we believe and we're born again, and you think, "I made it." Well, that was the end of the beginning. Congratulations. Now you've got a life of service for him. And then the day will come when he calls you home. Not home to your house. Not home to a care home. But home with him. In New Jerusalem, the new heavens and the new earth. Learn will you tonight? From Bartimaeus. In the heading in my Bible, it's called Blind Bartimaeus. But it's remarkable because he stopped being blind. He was seeing Bartimaeus. He's no longer characterized by what he can't do. He's no longer characterized by what his father was called. He's characterized now by the one whom he is following. We don't hear of him again, as far as I can tell. We know that he had a great number of disciples in Judea and Galilee. I would like to say that Bartimaeus remained one of them. He was probably still uncouth. I doubt his manners particularly improved immediately, straight away. He doesn't know what it means to butter bread or regularly wash, but the process began in him that day of becoming more godly and more Jesus-like. Don't let your disadvantages hold you back. There were many that day who could see clearly, but saw nothing at all. And there was a blind man who by faith saw Jesus more clearly than hundreds of others. Don't let other people put you off coming to Christ, because they will. And when they do, you cry out all the more. When you cry out to Jesus, he does not put you on hold and fob you off. He will stand still and command you to be brought. And if you want to be forgiven, you want to be right with him. You want to live that life for which you were created. Ask. Ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. Jesus called him and Bartimaeus called Jesus. Jesus said, knock and the door will be opened. But he also said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. From the Black Book, 469.
Jesus.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blind Bartimaeus, so-called. Lord, many of us were blind, but now we see. Lord, I pray that we might all see clearly, that, Lord, that we might come to you, and that even more precious, you might come to us. Be of good cheer. He is calling you. Amen.